Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. 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 It's good to be in church. It is good to be in church. We serve an awesome God. He's been so good to us, better than we've been to ourselves. Hebrews chapter 11. Come on, Pastor Thompson allowed me to minister the word. Kind of a privilege and an honor. I'm just thankful to be part of what God is doing in the kingdom. Hebrews 11, verse 1, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I'm going to read in a different version, and it reads like this. "Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen." Verse 6 says, "Now without faith it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him." So for the next few moments, I'd like to challenge you. I dare you to believe. I dare you to believe. Let's put our Bibles down and talk to the Lord just for another moment. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. Your word is anointed, Lord God. We've worshiped you, Lord, with our mouths. We worshiped you with lifted hands. We worshiped you with our voices. We ask you right now, God, did you have your way, Lord, in this portion of this service, Lord God? Anoint my mind and anoint my mouth right now, Lord, for these precious people. In the name of Jesus, have your way, Lord. Give me your words, Lord, Father, to everyone in the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you may be seated in the house of God. I dare you to believe. To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To the one without faith, no explanation is possible. Faith isn't faith until it is all you're holding on to. And so you and I must believe God for everything so that he can then do anything. It's not something that we're wishing for. It's something that we must hold on to. You see, we need the faith that calms the storm. We need the faith that brings peace. We need the faith that holds fast to joy. We need faith in God regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the problems that you might be facing. You see, skill alone is not enough. You see, this is not faith in your ability, skills, or talents. Ability alone won't get you your miracle. Talent, while good, can only take you but so far. But when skill ends, and when ability fails, and when talent is waning, all that you have left is the anointing. And it's the anointing of God and yielding to the Spirit of God that takes you places that your talent cannot take you. So dare to believe God. The word dare is defined, can be defined as to have the boldness to try or venture or hazard, to meet defiantly or to face courageously. Dare to believe God when you don't know where to turn. Dare to believe God when you don't know what to do, when all hope seems lost and you're at the end of your rope, when everything comes crashing down in your life, dare to believe God and stand on His word. Because it is in these moments when you and I can dare to believe God that miraculous things take place. However, it's also in these moments when we're weak, when we're down, when we're sorrowful, in our weakest trials, that your faith can become weak and you are susceptible to the hands of the enemy. So on the one hand, at your weakest moment, hold on to God. But realize that at your weakest moment, the enemy is right there. And if you're not careful, you will hear his voice versus the voice of God. And you can say, well, I don't hear God speaking to me. Open up the book. Because when you begin to open up his word, that's how God speaks to you. And then after you've read the word, God will then confirm that word through the man of God. And so that's how he'll also speak to you. God responds to faith in him. So do the following. Remove all doubt. Remove all fear. Realize that God didn't give you that spirit. Do not embrace a spirit of fear. And remove all worries. And so consider the following, if you will. Matthew 8, 1 through 4, we find when he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, him being Jesus. And right away, a man with a serious skin condition came up and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Reaching out his hand, he touched him. He did not wait for Jesus to respond, saying, I am willing, be made clean. Immediately his disease was healed. Immediately his disease was healed. Then Jesus told him, see that you don't tell anyone. It's funny to me. You just healed me. What do you mean? Don't tell anyone. You saw I had a skin disease. They're going to ask questions. What do you mean? Don't tell anyone. But go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses prescribed as a testimony to them. We find that a man has leprosy. And immediately he sees Jesus. He forgets all manners. And he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Realize who he's talking to. He's talking to the healer. He's talking to the great physician. No doctor can take care of this leprosy. He's already an outcast amongst everyone. Because when you had leprosy, you could not be among the people. You couldn't even offer sacrifices like you're supposed to. Why? Because you were unclean. And yet, he says, if you're willing. Now, why did Jesus come? He came to heal. He was already willing. And notice that the man stated a fact that Jesus already knew. Jesus was willing to change this man's situation. So all the man had to do was ask for it. Translation for us today. You don't have to beg God to fulfill his purpose in your life. You don't have to wish for God to grant your petition. All you have to do is believe God according to his word. For if you have a word from God, stand on that word. Hold on to that word. And do not let go of that word. Because God is bound by his word that if he said it, it's going to come to pass. So what exactly is the word of God for the Pentecostals of Orange Park? This place shall be filled. That is the word of God, for that is the will of God. The will of God is that nobody should perish, but that everybody should come to repentance. That's exactly why this church exists, so that somebody could be changed, so that somebody could be healed, so that somebody could be delivered. I dare you to believe God for the supernatural. So stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled with the yoke of bondage again. Dare to believe God. And you're probably thinking, but there are empty seats. That's good. They need to be filled. If all the seats were full, you couldn't grow. But God has brought you to a place to expand your faith. Where you used to be, you're at a ceiling. You're at a peak. You couldn't grow even if you wanted to. Yet he brought you to a place to expand every area of your life. To expand your faith. To expand your hope. To expand your vision. I don't see empty seats. And the moment you realize these seats aren't empty, they're just waiting to be occupied, it will then spur you to reach out to the community around you that you're called to serve. So the next time you think there's an empty seat, replace that with a minister sitting there. A teacher is sitting there. A nursery worker is sitting there. An altar worker is sitting there. A musician is sitting there. When you see every empty seat here, vision and have a vision of who's supposed to be in that seat. Maybe it is your neighbor. Maybe it is a coworker. Maybe it is a family member. Maybe it's the homeless man asking for food right now. I dare you to believe God. Don't put any limits on who God wants you to reach. Don't put any limits on who God wants you to talk to. Believe God when you don't see anything. 1 Kings 18. This is right after a wonderful victory on Mount Carmel with the prophet Elijah. Sitting on cloud 9. And yet, he's already declared to a wicked king it's going to rain. For I hear the sound of the abundance thereof. Even though there's been a drought for several years. And so, the servant was directed to go and look. And his response, what's the direction of the man of God, is priceless. There's nothing there. I don't see anything. It doesn't look like it's going to rain. You're probably thinking, it doesn't look like we're having revival. It doesn't look like we're growing. Yet, the man of God says, go again. But not just go again, go 7 times. Realize that he has to go 7 times. He can't go 6. He can't go 5. So the fact that he has to go 7 times, he's probably thinking, well, why? What's so good about 7? What's so great about 7? Yeah, it is his perfect number. God's perfect number. Because what happens? When he steps out the second time, guess what he sees? Nothing. Goes back up again. I don't see anything. He's like, hey, you still got a few more times. He goes back the 3rd time. Guess what he sees? Nothing. The 4th time, nothing's there. The 5th time, nothing's there. The 6th time, I'm sure he's tired of walking back and forth. He's probably thinking, Why am I doing this? I'm wasting my time. And yet, he did not mishear what the man said, because the man of God didn't say six. He said seven. And so at the seventh time, what did he see? A cloud the size of a man's hand. Amen. That is all the man of God needed. Because he understood that if there's a cloud, it's just going to get bigger. And by the time he gets off that mountain, it's raining. So I've come to let you know that whatever it is you're looking for, pray again. Seek again. Knock again. If it takes seven times. Because when the man of God says, go seven times, he's expecting something to happen at the seventh time. So when God gives you explicit direction on what to do, I suggest you take every last step. Because that last step is your step into a miracle. Your last step is your step into a breakthrough. Your last step is your step into an answered prayer. I dare you to believe. So the key is very simple. If you will just believe God when you see nothing happening, watch him work and your faith will increase as you see the process unfold before your eyes. You're in the right place at the right time for the right purpose. You're not here by accident. You're not here by coincidence. You don't work at the job you work at just because. You don't live in that neighborhood that you're living in just because. You don't come across those same people in the shopping mall or at the supermarket just because. When you see that same cashier over and over and over again, God's talking. The question is, are you listening? Because everybody around you is searching for something. Everything nowadays is all about the supernatural. Everything. People are looking for spiritual things. And they're finding spiritual things, but they're not finding good things. And so when they meet you, they're then going to ask, well, what makes you so different? What separates you? The anointing. And the word of God. Because, in case you didn't notice, the word of God is preached here. You don't get fluff. You don't get cotton candy. You don't get junk food. You only get the word of God. Why? Because it's the word of God that sustains you. It's the word of God that feeds you. It's the word of God that nourishes you. All that other stuff will eventually kill you. How do I know that? Eat a bunch of junk food. You get diabetes. You die of diabetes and the results thereof. When you consume junk, it's a bad play. But when you can consume the word of God, and I'm not just talking surface level stuff, because that's just milk. Okay, that's just the basics. Okay, but after a while, you can't have the basics. After a while, the basics won't keep you. The basics won't sustain you. The basics won't get you to heaven. You see, the basics get you in the door, but the basics don't keep you. It's only when you dig deep in the Word of God and then you allow God to convict you and then you allow God to respond to that conviction by obeying to that conviction, that's how you grow. So when God is pricking at your heart saying you ought to change, and then you choose not to change, only but for so long he will continue to prick you. Until then, your conscience is seared. And then you're no longer convicted. And then you then live with whatever it is you're living with. Even though God is trying to draw things out of you. Why does God do that? He tries to pull things out of you so that he can pour himself into you. That's why we have to remove carnality and worldliness and all foolishness, if I can be blunt with you. Why? Because you cannot walk in the authority of God without his anointing. And you cannot be anointed until you are separated. And you're not separated until you're consecrated. Consecration just wasn't for the priesthood. The whole body had to be consecrated. The whole body has to be pure. The whole body has to be holy. So I dare you to believe for God, for the supernatural manifestation, for his word to be made alive in your city and in your community and in your school and on your job and in your neighborhood, and most importantly, made alive in you. Dare to believe God for revival even when you can't see it right now. Don't look at the empty seats, because believe that God will fill them. Don't look at the world longing for their sources or longing for their resources. Look to Jesus, who has all the resources you really need. Because it is because of your faith mountains can be moved. It is because of your faith chains can be broken. It's because of your faith that healing will take place. Why? Because you're putting your faith in the one who breaks the chains, and the one who moves mountains, and the one who heals. I'm talking about the God who restores, the God who revives, the God who makes whole. He's the one who mends broken hearts. He's the one who mends broken dreams. He's the one who restores dead dreams. So consider the obstacles. We all face them. We've all faced financial obstacles. So when you're going through it financially, stand on the Word of God. Read and meditate on the Word of God about faithfulness and giving, and standing on the promises that he is your provider, and watch him pay your bills. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't want you to put your mortgage in the offering unless God physically told you to do that. I'm not saying put all your money in the offering. Okay? What I'm saying is obey the Word of God. He understands that things get tight. I get all that. But it's in those tight moments you really find out how deep your faith really is. Will you give anyway? Even though you have no idea how food is coming on the table. I can tell you time and time and time again, I'm giving. And yet, God's like, I've already got you. See, because me being a numbers guy, I like to figure everything out. I like to calculate everything. I like to budget everything. And if it doesn't feel right, I'm like, I don't want to do that. And yet, God's like, no, we're gonna do this. We're going to do this. I'm like, God's will? Frank's will. God's will is like, no, you're going to do this and work in faith. Frank's will is like, I'd love to, but. It's not necessary that my heart isn't unwilling. I want to do the right thing. Yet sometimes the right thing, his thing, conflicts with what I really want to do. And then when the choice is made, will I do it God's way or Frank's way? Trust me. After years of living with God, I need to do it his way. Why? Because he's smarter than me. He's better than me. And after all my plans and everything, I'm like, here are all my plans, God. He's like, that's all junk. Wasted all this time, wasted all this energy, wasted all this emotions for nothing. Then I'm looking like an idiot. I'm like, well, why didn't I just trust you? He's like, well, I'm trying to tell you. So just give. Just give. Maybe you're thinking, well, my family, man, it's just messed up. It's okay. Speak peace into your marriage. Speak obedience in you to God. And as you obey God, your children will obey you. And follow your leading and follow your instructions. Why? So that unity can take place in your household, so that as a result of that, unity will take place in the church. You probably think, well, man, I'm financially, Brother Frank, I'm good. Family, you know, we're straight. We're good. But, man, my emotions, I don't know about all that. Remind yourself that righteousness, peace, and joy are found with God's Spirit dwelling in you. It's not enough to just receive the Holy Ghost. He has to be made alive in you. You have to let him cultivate your life and work in your life and change you from the inside out. I'm not worried about how your outside's looking until your inside is clean. Why? Because I found time and time again that when you let God clean you on the inside, truly clean you, ain't nobody got to tell you anything about the outside. God will automatically, he'll convict you, and you'll be like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go there anymore. I don't think I'm going to hang out with those people anymore. I think I'm going to have to change my wardrobe a little bit. Oh, God will do that. Oh, if you want God to really do something in your life, God will do that. You know the areas that God has been dealing with you about. And so I challenge you. I dare you. If you believe God the way you say you do, if you believe God the way you think you're trying to tell me you do, I dare you, put it on the table. Put it on the altar. God, here's my phone. God, here are my keys. God, here's my wallet. Everything, God. Everything. When you put it all at the altar, you're telling him, God, you're in control. From the car I drive to whether or not I need to buy a $1,000 phone. That's for another message. I'm not going to. You're over my finances because you're over my bills. When you give him every aspect of your life, physically and financially and emotionally, you're okay. You don't have to worry about trying to figure it out. But trust God. And you're thinking, you know, I'm going to lose some friends. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. People don't think you're weird. Yep. They don't think you're weird. It's okay. Why? Because they're the world. And you're not the world. You're the church. Be the church. Look like the church. Act like the church. Be the church. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You see, it's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same anointing. It's the same authority. It's the same power. You're connected to the same power source as the early church because you are part of the church. You're not just any church. You can depend on God in your darkest hour to bring you into your brightest day. closing. Mark 9:23-24. Then Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, everything is possible to the one who believes." Immediately the father of the boy cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." This can be your prayer. Lord, I believe you can do it. Help my unbelief so that I can believe you more. I don't know how it's going to figure out, God, but I'm believing you anyway. Not sure how you're going to save my family, God, but between now and their last breath, and I don't know in between, I'm believing you anyway. And you're thinking, well, I've lost loved ones who died lost. I understand. I've been there. You still prayed anyway. And after they're gone, it just shouldn't stop you from praying for the next one. We just put them in the hands of a gracious God, and then we move on. Why? Because there's somebody out there that needs your voice, that needs your testimony, that needs your life. You're thinking, I don't have a testimony. Yep, yeah, you do. You're here. You're here. This is your testimony. How God saved you. How God cleansed you. How God redeemed you. How God washed you. How he removed depression from your life and gave you joy. How he mended your family and mended your marriage. How he gave you jobs and how he gave you all that stuff. That is your testimony. It is your life. I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you. Dare to believe God. Maybe you've lost faith and say, "Hey, Brother Frank, you know what? I prayed and he didn't do it." Pray again. I asked, but he didn't answer yet. Ask again. I knocked on the door and he didn't open it yet. Knock again. If you do it according to his word and you pray according to his will, it is going to happen in his time. You see, so often we're thinking, "God, I asked 5 minutes ago. I asked, God." He's like, "Okay. So? Ask again." But ask according to the word. And ask according to the will. And then step back. And allow God to operate. Because once you've put it in his hands, it's not your problem. Not your bill, God. This ain't your mortgage. It's not. Look. You can't pay for this. But God can. Your talent, your eloquence can't, quote unquote, convince somebody to stay in church. It might convince them to come to church, but it won't keep them in church. The Bible studies that you teach, sowing to the word of God, keep doing that. But at the end of the day, that person has to allow, be married to it themselves, be connected to themselves. At some point, you have to say, "You know what? I've taught you enough. I've given you all I've got." And once you've given them everything, you just have to take a step back. Like, all right, it's your turn. Those who you're witnessing to, keep witnessing to them. But be listening to God when he says, "You know what? Enough's enough." Why? Because we don't want to cast our pearls before swine. That's code for everybody doesn't want to listen. Everybody will not listen. So avoid debate. Trust me, I was the biggest debater. My buddy will tell you. Avoid debate. And stand on the word of God. Because when you've given them the word, you've given them truth. And that's all you need to worry about. You let God worry about the results. And so, your response in the meantime is simple. Praise and worship will lead you to where you're going. Praise God for past accomplishments over struggles and hang-ups. Praise God for present triumphs as you travel through the storm. Praise God in advance for future victories. Will you be like the woman with the issue of blood, who tried everything else and was at the end of all hope when she dared to touch Jesus and believe for her healing anyway? Can you face the obstacle with courage and faith? Can you venture and try God? You have nothing to lose by putting your faith and hope in the one who has the answer. So what are you praying for? What are you seeking for? What are you asking for? I dare you to believe. Let's stand. God understands right where you're at. He understands right where you're going through. But he's asking the question, will you believe me in this time of uncertainty? Will you believe me when everything else says, you know what, this isn't really going to work out? See, so often we get sidetracked by what we see or don't see, that we forget that God is still working. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not always easy. But we can make it easier by just holding on to the word. So each and every day, just ask God, Lord, where are we going today? What are we doing today? Who am I witnessing to today? Who am I sharing my testimony with today? I'm not saying this is going to be your experience every day, but if you've been living for God for any amount of time and you've got the Holy Ghost and you've been baptized, at some point you want to share that with somebody else. However that looks like, stand on the Word of God. You don't have to memorize all the scriptures. Trust me, I didn't. I just memorized the most important ones that I knew were going to help me win. If you can give somebody the plan of salvation, that's all God's really asking for. He's the one who will give the increase. But if you throw your seeds over here, and you throw your seeds over here, eventually there's going to be a harvest. As I pray, ask the question, Lord God, I believe. Will you help my unbelief? Will you help me to believe you again? Will you help me to hold on to you again? Will you help me to look to you again? He's the one who has all the answers. He's the one who's going to perform the work. But if you can believe him, when you see nothing, he will amaze you when you can then see everything. These altars are open. Let's talk to the Lord.